Oh, I guess we back. There's only one thing left to do. It feels good to be back in the wing again. Not only for me, but my man Big Sin. We doing our thug dizzle once again. The predictions are on point. You know how we handle our business. But you know what time it is. It's time for that damn NFL show. We had a lot of drama and chaos. A lot of things needed to happen in order for our predictions to come true. But I feel bad for three teams that thought they were leaving town with a big-ass dub. And in fact, they left with a bigger, even bigger L than they anticipated. But that ain't my problem. Fuck it. Let's go. Feels fucking good to be in this business once again. After a fucking rough week, and I'm talking about rough like Ruff McGruff, we finally got back on the positive side of things. But we'll talk about that in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, live in the building. Once again, back with my cohort and competitor in this damn NFL show, my man Big Sin. And a lot went on, a lot of good, a lot of bad. But we're back in the win column once again, Big Sin. Yeah. How are you doing? And let them know about the records of how we did this week.
I'm tired as shit, but I'm good. So I went 10-6, you went 9-7. So about 500 for both of us.
That's not bad. That's better than last week.
We are almost at 500 for the total, where we're both sitting at 15-16-1.
We gotta check the NFL analysts. Well, we promise not to check those ESPN analysts that think they know everything until week six. This is how we did it the last two seasons. And yes, we compete with the NFL analysts. Last year, me and Big Sim beat the majority of the NFL
analysts. Not last year, because we didn't finish the season. The season before that,
yes.
Remember, I finished like two behind one of the ESPN dudes.
Yes. But listen. It's always a good thing when you can go against the NFL analysts, the paid people, the people that get paid millions of dollars to do this shit, and can still have a better record than them. You know why? Because it means that their opinion is bullshit. that's what it is. Ooh, am I right? Am I right? I'm just saying.
We have known this for years.
No. So we had three games.
Well, let's go down the thing. We'll get to those games.
Yeah.
We had kind of a controversial loss on Thursday night as the LA Chargers dropped the game to the Chiefs. Every time Patrick Mahomes throws an interception, there's 10 flags but only 4 referees. I don't know what the hell's going on with this.
It's gotta be the Jordan rule all over again in football. It's the Mahomes rule. But me and you have known that they want Patrick Mahomes to get a couple Super Bowl championships. And I personally feel, and people are going to disagree with this, that they're doing everything that they can for Patrick Mahomes to erase the legacy that is Tom Brady.
Patrick Mahomes is not going to last as long as Tom Brady.
No, the sad part about it is that Patrick Mahomes was on the New England Patriots, that he probably would have won three in a row because of how good their defense is. you know what I'm saying? And because Kansas City has absolutely zero defense. Hell, if he would have been on the Detroit Lions, at least their defense showed up every week.
You know what I'm saying? Fuck. So, but yes,
bullshit. It is bullshit. I'm still picking the Chargers in my division. The one play that threw me off also is Travis Kelce went up and got like fucking powerbombed, and the ball was moving. You can see the ball moving in his hand, pop straight up in the air into a Chargers hand, and they're like, no, he was down. What the fuck?
He didn't have control. How was he down? See, that's the bullshit I be talking about. That type of bullshit is what I really, really hate.
You froze up, sir. Hello?
Oh. Oh, are you there?
Are you there? You froze up on my end.
Well, everybody froze up on every end. That's what happened on this end.
No, I was still moving, and you were just like...
No, on my end, nothing happened. We all disappeared from existence. That's what happened. Okay. That's how bad the shit went. But John is in the building. John Peasy, I wish I could see an alternate reality where Patrick Mahomes plays QB in the early 90s.
Yeah, same. Or the early 2000s when, you know, Rodney Harrison and these guys were around.
True. Although, if we're going to go that route, you would put him on a team with a fairly decent O-line. So, more than likely, you'd put him on the Cowboys, the 49ers, the Falcons at that time, because Chris Miller or Chris Chandler were actually doing fucking really good. Who had John Elway and the Broncos in the 90s, Brett Favre.
Packers. You had the Patriots started their winning back then.
Yeah. But imagine Scott Zolak had time. I mean, shit, he had time to throw a damn football.
The NFL trying to sign with Hollywood.
That's right. As soon as I said something about NFL and Patrick Mahomes,
So before we get into the rest of the week's games, let's both send our congratulations out to the Las Vegas Aces, bringing the first professional championship to Las Vegas in sports.
Yes, thank you. Because the Golden Knights were oh so close, they couldn't get it done a couple years ago. They were oh so close twice, couldn't get it done.
Raiders ain't nowhere near it.
Yeah. And the women are like, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And so the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces brought home a championship. Title town is Las Vegas. Go fuck yourselves.
The season's over. No more titles here until next year.
Las Vegas is Title Town USA. Okay.
All right. So first game we get to talk about this weekend was a good defensive matchup. The New England Patriots go to Pittsburgh and do what they normally do in Pittsburgh. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They ran the ball and played good defense. That was the recipe.
Nelson Agholor made the catch of the season so far.
Oh, yeah. So far, yes. Well, remember, when you're dealing with a team that basically is running off of Black Air Force energy, okay, you know what I'm saying? That Black Air Force energy, you know what I'm talking about. That's the theme of the season, Black Air Force energy for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They really had to just slow them the fuck down, okay? Made them work for everything, and then when it was time, you handled fucking business. And that's exactly what happened with New England and fucking Pittsburgh. It was a throwback to some of their earlier games.
Mm-hmm. It was a defensive beat-em-up game. I am glad T.J. Watt wasn't playing, because it probably would have been different story. But, hey, Pat's got the win.
Listen, you take your doves wherever the fuck you can. The one thing I love the respect and admiration that these two have for each other when it comes to Mike Tomlin and Bill Belichick. It's always the greatest game of chess that you could ever watch in professional football. I mean, for real though, like you think about it, because every time they play each other, right? Unless Bill Belichick is pissed off, right? It's a good game.
Yeah.
So remember when Mike Tomlin was talking that shit about Bill, and Bill was just being very kept it short and cordial, and then what happened?
What John Cena said, we shredded the Pittsburgh D like Venetian blinds.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So moving on to the Giants at 2-0.
Yeah, that.
The Giants are the class of the AFC East, of the NFC East.
And I never thought I'd ever, ever say that in the history of, like, life, right? And I, you know, I mean, there's times in our lives where we just have to just kind of admit some things, right? And one of those things is the fact that the Giants, for the first time since the Eli Franklin Manning era, that's not even his real middle name.
But no, the bad part is about that. It wasn't even in the last 9 years of the Eli Manning era. It was early in the Eli Manning era.
That the Giants are undefeated. How did we get here?
Saquon Barkley ain't shared his thighs yet.
No, and you know, they're giving him the Todd Gurley treatment. Okay. They're really only running him certain plays a game. He's really only can only last a certain amount of time before his things break down. So they're like, you know, we're not even gonna like do him dirty like that.
They need to, because the motherfucker's built like Samuel Jackson in fucking glass.
Well, exactly. That's the problem. Like, that's a shit. You might as well give him that. See, thank you, Todd Gurley, for giving a blueprint on how to treat you when you're made of glass. Thank you. But outside of that, they have got some really good quarterback play out of Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to lose you a game.
Exactly. But remember, we said that too. That was one thing that I love Daniel Jones. I just hate the Giants. And that said, unless the Giants can find a way to pull it together, I don't know about this team. And they're finding a way to pull it together. That's
somehow, some way.
I don't know.
The next game is the first of what Hollywood alluded to at the beginning of this video. The Cleveland Football Browns lost the game in the most Browns way possible. They are 0-1 when putting the elf back on the field.
Oh my God.
Joe Flacco stats. 26 of 44 for 307 and 4 touchdowns. You really could have beat that, Cleveland? Really?
Nope. They couldn't do it. It was impossible. It was not only impossible. And not only improbable, but it was horrible and disgusting. Let me put it to your perspective, okay? Jacoby Brissett, up until the last 90 seconds of the game, played a brilliant game. 22 of 26 for 229 yards. This was...
Hold on. I think I've heard this story before. Hold on. First time in 2,332 games that a team has lost the game, went up 13 with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, there's only been so many times where you play a perfect game. Like, Jacoby Brissett was on his way. Everything was good. And then 22 of 26. Are you ready for this one? It's 22 of 26. Jacoby Brissett, all he has to do is make sure that the game doesn't get fucked up, okay? That's all he has to do. Matter of fact, it's 16 seconds left in this game. You have two of the best running backs in the NFL, okay? Two of them. Jacoby Brissett. Instead, they go from the shotgun.
Keep on going, buddy. Keep on going.
Throws the interception.
Brownie the elf was available that game too. Brownie curse.
Throws an interception. And it's a game. It's a wrap. It's a fucking
wrap. It was so bad that Jets and Browns fans were just left like this, looking like a fucking reactor photo.
Exactly.
Both team fans.
Yeah. Oh, so what do I do? I don't know because it was 30-17 left. It was 30-17 with 90 seconds left to go in this game.
And the final score, and the final score was 31-30.
I don't know. Two plays. Corey Davis, the 66 yard touchdown to Corey Davis.
Well, all we know, all Joe Flacco does is throw the ball deep.
And then, okay, so then they get the onside kick. And then Joe Flacco looks like the fucking the game against the Patriots that year, where he passes it to Carter for 12 and from the shotgun, and then Cleveland goes off sides, and then he pass to Conklin for 4, a pass to Carter for 5, a pass incomplete to Johnson. Wilson for 12, then the fucking Wilson for 15 touchdown. Extra point. How do you let this happen? How? First off, you fucked up my 0-17 prediction. Like, this is done. It's done now. I fucked up the season now.
I won the record deal right there. Yeah.
What the fuck? Now we can't. Now there's no 0-17. That's it. It season's a wrap. I'm done. I've already lost the season now. It's a wrap. Because how many games did you predict they win? 3?
3.
Well, now that Joe Flacco is making people come from behind with victories, everything's off the table now. They might accidentally make the playoffs, and then we're both fucked. Okay.
You know what's fucked up about this?
What?
I didn't pick them in my weekly, but I went back and looked at our predictions. I predicted the Jets would beat the Browns in week 2.
And you know what's hilarious? Because you almost leaned on me. I said, there's no way. I said, there's no way that this could happen. And then it did. But
so, go ahead, finish what you're going to say.
So I also find it hilarious that in the battle of fuck-alls when it comes to the Panthers getting Baker Mayfield and the Browns, deciding on getting a jack-off artist as their quarterback and having them sit for, 10 games now?
J-O-A, J-O-A.
So now nobody's won. Everybody's taking L's this year. This is just what it is now. So there's that. Now.
So speaking of taking L's, we are going into the volcano of disappointment in a game that we called, that a lot of people said this was an upset, that we were crazy. The Indianapolis Colts get blanked by the Jacksonville Jaguars. What happened to the Indy defense this year? They're like, oh, Matt Ryan's here, we ain't playing no more. Deuces.
So I always thought to myself, what was the problem? Was it Matt Ryan or was it Kyle Shanahan? Come to find out, it's both. Okay,
that's both.
They're both the problem. That's essentially what this is. But aside from that, I'm looking at these stats.
The Colts cannot beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville.
Nope.
It just doesn't happen. But this is the first time they have ever been shut out in Jacksonville.
How? All right. So let me tell you where the problem starts. The problem starts over Jonathan Taylor only runs not. So if Jonathan Taylor runs 9 times for 54 yards with a six yard average per carry, why? And you notice that Matt Ryan has gotten the interception number 2 before the first half ended. Why are you still passing the ball?
Because the Jaguars are up by 14.
And you know what? I think, you know what's hilarious is that I think that this was a point to where they got rid of Carson Wentz, right? And I felt that they said, Frank Reich said, I don't need Carson Wentz. I can win with any QB.
No, what did Frank Reich say? We're not going to just go with one-year quarterbacks. Automatically had a one-year quarterback. We took them to the playoffs, went for another one-year quarterback who's going to probably take them to 4-12 record.
Yeah. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. They didn't get to the playoffs last year because
they just missed it.
Yeah, they missed it because the Jacksonville Jaguars beat them in Jacksonville the last game of the season. You see,
Jacksonville was a 2-win team last year. They beat Miami and they beat the Colts.
Yep. God, this ownership. Listen, nigga, Tony Khan was on one when they won one, right? That was already off top. But now they're 1-1, baby. 50-50 ball. Oh.
All right.
I gotta talk about one thing. Trevor Lawrence went 25 of 30 for 235 and 2 touchdowns.
That's what I said. What the fuck happened to this Colts defense?
They stopped the run and couldn't stop anything else because James Robinson had 23 carries for 64 yards for a game-breaking 2.8 yard average. Game-breaking, baby. Woo!
All right. So when you're sitting there watching the highlights of a game because you're watching another game at the time, and you see going into the fourth quarter, the score is 35-14, you think a team has it pretty well under wraps, correct?
Not only well under wraps, right? Back in the day, this is when, especially if you had like 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, this is when you're bringing in the second stringers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the second string quarterback. You know, you've already talked to the coach. They're going to concede. Everything is just going to go that way. You know, we'll live to fight another day, right?
So would you like to know something that the team who is down a play they have in their playbook and what it's called?
What is it called?
They have a play in their playbook called "Fuck It." And what that play does, it just sends Tyreek Hill and Waddle straight down the fucking field because they're the two fastest wide receivers in the NFL. And just tell Tua to fucking launch it. Tua Tagovailoa, 36 of 50 for 469 yards and 6 touchdowns against a vaulted Baltimore Ravens defense. And 90% of that came in the fourth quarter.
You know what? That whole team let Lamar Jackson down. Because Lamar Jackson...
Yeah, Lamar Jackson had a 75-yard run or a touchdown at one point in this game.
He played his fucking ass off. And how did he get repaid? By taking this L up his asshole. That's exactly what happened.
So, the rushing stats for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, 9 carries, 119 yards, an average of 13.2 carries and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. The second leading rusher, Jay Hill, 3 carries, 16 yards.
That's right. Woo!
Let me look at our wide receiver stats over here for the Miami Dolphins. Tyreek Hill, 11 catches, 190 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Waddle, 11 catches, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
All in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Do you know what the scary part about this is? Is that even when they run the ball, they're more than likely getting a first down after 2 plays because Raheem Mostert had averaged 4.6 yards a carry. Yep.
He had 50. He had 51 yards rushing.
Yeah, freaking. Was it Chase Edmonds had only five carries for 33 with 6.6 yards. And it is this what the fuck?
Like I said, the play is literally called "fuck it" in their playbook.
They failed Lamar Jackson so bad. I couldn't even tell you. What there's no redeeming, there's no, it also didn't help that Duvernay got hurt after a second catch. That just
but John's right there. You do not backpedal when you're trying to guard Tyreek Hill.
No, you listen,
do not fucking backpedal.
Listen, and you notice they didn't even play man, they played zone.
Yeah,
why are you not disrupting the fastest man on your roster?
Because they have a second fastest man on that roster who's bigger and runs faster than Tyreek Hill.
All right, so I hope John remembers this game. I hope John is watching and I hope he remembers this.
Well, that's him right there talking to us.
All right, so let me take you back to 1994, John. 1994.
I'm gonna take my headphones off real quick, okay? Go ahead, have at it.
Okay. So remember in 1994. When Deion Sanders first came to the San Francisco 49ers and they played the Atlanta Falcons for the first time in the dome, when the Falcons and the 49ers were in the same division, okay? And Andre Rison lined up against Deion Sanders. What did Deion Sanders do? Because knowing that Andre Rison back then was the fastest man on the league next to Andre Reed, we're okay. What did Deion Sanders, notorious zone cornerback, do to Andre Rison every single time? Got in his motherfucking ass, hands on his ass every single time. Every single time, without question. They got into a fight in the middle of the game, didn't get ejected, but hands were on each other all the time. You know why? Because Deion Sanders knows that if Andre Rison gets past his ass, it's fucking over.
And that's also because Deion Sanders knows he ain't tackling nobody. He's just pushing him out of bounds.
Exactly. So, every single time, and Deion Sanders, I think he had two interceptions in that game because he disrupted every single thing that the Falcons try to do to the 49ers. Knowing that the fastest man is on the other side of the field, and you know you have a top-tier corner in Humphrey, why are you not slapping hands with Tyreek Hill on the other side and make sure he doesn't get past your ass? I have no idea why that's not the case, but they paid for it in the last half, in the last 10 minutes?
So just the FYI, that was the only game we picked opposite, and that was the game you lost.
Because I won the Ravens. I thought the Ravens were going to win.
All right, so next up we have a person getting a regular season thing off his back, but another person fighting somebody who he's fought before to defend that person who got something off his back. We have Tom Brady and the Buccaneers finally beating the Saints in the regular season. But Mike Evans, his comment after the game, it's Tom Brady. What the fuck you think I'm going to do?
Oh, no, that wasn't after the game. That was during the game.
Oh, during the game.
When they ejected him, it was like, why'd you do it? It's Tom Brady. What you think I was going to do?
So, Mike Evans is suspended for this week, and he's appealing it. But because of past history with Lattimore, because they have gotten in fights before,
yeah,
I don't think he's going to win this appeal.
Oh, no, but it got upheld. As of about 20 minutes ago, it is now upheld. Okay.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers went out and got Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, as they signed Cole Beasley today.
And Cole Beasley, baby.
The rich get richer.
I was wondering, you know what? And I said, what would happen if Tom Brady got a hold of Cole Beasley one time for the one time?
And Cole Beasley only did not get signed because he had shoulder surgery in the offseason.
Yeah.
But he got cleared last week. And he's just waiting.
Yeah. I mean, there's one person I feel bad for, Adam Thielen, because I know Adam Thielen really wanted to come to Tampa to play with Tom Brady.
Thielen still has Kirk Cousins, okay?
Well, yeah, and that's not a good thing. That's not a fair trade.
I didn't say it was.
but the whole thing is, yes, you're right. The monkey finally got off the back. Have you noticed, though, that this Buccaneers defense
is really fucking good.
Yeah, stepped the fuck up against them.
Yeah, they made Jameis look like he did before he had eye surgery.
Yeah, that was all bad. They shut down Michael Thomas. It was so bad that the other receiver, Olave,
mm-hmm.
He's like the fourth receiver on the roster.
He said, "Olave."
yeah. I got a shot because remember Jarvis Landry's on the team,
mm-hmm.
and he only had four catches.
Jarvis has been a non-factor since the season started. I forgot he was on the Saints until I looked it up the other day.
Yeah, but remember what I said though. I said that this is going to be a problem. I know everybody's going to be like, "Well, Ingram had 10 carries for 58 yards. That should be good enough." When I'm about to say what I'm about to say, he's no Alvin Kamara.
Nope. And we discussed that last week.
Yep. He's not. He's not Alvin Kamara. He's going to be suspended, and that's just kind of what it goes. And that's a problem. And that's going to be – they got to figure out something. The reason why Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram worked well is because you had Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Now
Thunder and Lightning. Now you just have Thunder, who's about – probably his 40 time is, what, maybe a second slower than it used to be when he was at the Saints the first time?
Yeah, and he's still a big boy. Don't get me wrong.
They ain't got no lightning.
Nope, they got no lightning. Because you got Washington, who's also a big boy back. Mm-hmm. And then you have Taysom Hill. And then, yeah, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. They need to find a running back. They need to find somebody. Somebody that's fast as fuck. That takes the pressure off of him.
What's gonna be scary about the whole Beasley thing is he runs the route that Tom Brady loves to throw the most, the inside slant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oddly enough, Tom Brady about to show out even more than he has this season so far.
True. And here's something that you don't realize. This is about to be the whitest receiving core now for this week only, because he said, yeah, but wide receivers got the hell beat out of him and nearly killed if they tried to catch some over the middle. But yeah, but Deion made sure he didn't get over the middle. Deion made sure he put hands on you on that line. You know, you weren't getting behind Deion Sanders. And that was like my statement, that you – the best corners, especially if Humphrey's considering this up. Remember Humphrey three years ago gave Odell Beckham fits, right? Remember when
So you can't really compare those receivers, Andre Rison to Odell, because Odell, DK, these guys, when you get in their heads, they fuck up.
Yeah.
Back then, Rison, he had his house burned down by a rap chick. He was still out there fucking flexing on people.
No, I know. What you all said? You can still put hands on somebody, frustrate them. Fuck them. You know what I'm saying? You can't let Tyreek Hill bully you and bitch you like that.
As soon as Tyreek started running, he was already 5 yards behind the fucking defender.
That's why you
said for whatever reason, the fucking defenders weren't playing back to him or Waddle. And you know they're the best fucking, they're the fastest two receivers in the league.
Listen, I'm playing dime all day. If that's how the shit goes,
you cover play six, dime. Cover six quarters. All y'all motherfuckers stay the fuck back there.
Depends on defensive holding automatic first down. Should I rather take the automatic first down than have Tyreek Hill make me my bitch?
Tyreek and Waddle go for over 100 yards in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, that's him. Let me get that defensive hold. I'm going to make y'all niggas run. How about that?
And that's where Josh Norman's defense would come into play, because he'll just pass interference. You ain't getting a touchdown, but you also ain't catching the ball.
Tyreek Hill.
Right, so,
yeah, go ahead.
So let's move on. The Detroit Lions said finish him as they kept the lead for an entire game. As they dominated the Washington Commanders.
Didn't we? We called Detroit, right? Is that what it was?
We did.
And a lot of people thought, again, that we were crazy, thought we was bullshitting. And then I have to explain to you, you're not watching what we're seeing. Okay? We were watching the heart and soul of Detroit. And the law of averages dictated that at some point, that if Washington kept backing themselves into wins, they were going to walk themselves into a loss. And that's exactly what happened.
And also, let's just say this. Every player on that Lions team will run through a wall for Dan Campbell.
Oh, easily. Remember I told you, Dan Campbell was working
even out. Even though he's already run through the wall, it's just now opening.
If I told you these two stats, 30 of 46, 337 with three touchdowns and a pick, as opposed to 20 of 34 to 256, four touchdowns and no pick, you'd be like, well, shit, I'm surprised that the team with the 337 yards passing didn't win. And you'd be right until I tell you that they only ran for about 70 yards total between five running backs.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Lions, who had two – my man, Equanimous St. Brown, had two carries for 68 yards. So not only did they fall for a wide receiver reverse once, they fell for it twice.
It's the name, man. It's the name. Go back to watch the football team.
What's crazy is that this Equanimous St. Brown cat is probably going to be a Pro Bowler, because he's out here running for 60-some yards a game and catching nine catches for 116 yards.
Yeah, because Jared Goff trusts him.
Who knows? Barry Sanders might come out of retirement one time for the one time. And fucking let me get on this train. How's this sound? I got one good run in me. And then he blows a gasket and dies.
All right. So I'm gonna make a statement right now. And I want you to name the team I'm talking about, okay?
Okay.
We traded up in the draft to draft a quarterback who played one game in 2 years. And now he's out for the season, so we had to go to the quarterback who we put in the doghouse for no good goddamn reason. And then he's like, I'll take a lesser contract. And now he's your starting quarterback, and the team looks a hell of a lot better. What team am I talking about, sir?
So first things first, fuck you. It was three games. Second, second, you're talking about the 49ers. And yes, yes, let me put this up. Oh, here we go. That's exactly right.
Okay, so my best friends are right here still doing this video with me, and the other motherfucker is over here in the comments. They are both fucking 49er fans. I am surrounded by these assholes. So
let me finish this peach ring. I have something to say about this whole game.
Oh, they should not sucking on an orangeicle now.
No, I ate all my oranges, but the orangeicles are in the back of the freezer. I can't get to them. But anyways, let me finish this peach ring, okay?
So anyway, quarterback goes down, breaks his ankle on a weird play where his cleat stuck in the field, his leg was sideways. He tried to get up, a lineman fell on his leg, and snapped.
So, the thing is, there's two sides of the story that are going on in the NFL right now. Two big things. So, you're either on the side of the team is a much better team with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm, which isn't a wrong statement because Jimmy Garoppolo's been there for the last, 4 years now? Five years.
5 years.
5 years. Holy shit.
Yeah. Maybe he was injured the first one.
Yeah. We played the last five games after he got traded.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he got injured. And then he played the whole season, took him to the Super Bowl.
In his two healthy seasons, he took you to the Super Bowl and he took you to the NFC Championship.
Yep. So then you have that side of things. The other side of this thing is you almost feel like, especially given last week, that they've tried to drive Trey Lance into the ground, literally and figuratively.
So John mentioned this during the game. Why are you having this kid who's smaller than Lamar Jackson, who's smaller than other running, like Russell Wilson, trying to run up the middle like he's a fucking running back?
So, which leads back to what I said last week, and I know that you hate every time I mention his name, but if you're going to have a running quarterback, if you're going to say, hey, I'm a running quarterback, I want a quarterback that can scramble and do this shit, why didn't you get a guy like RG3 or Colin Kaepernick? Why didn't you keep him? Like, I don't understand what's so wrong with that. You're going to be like, okay, we want a traditional quarterback. And then after you get your traditional quarterback for 4 years, you say, no, and I'm good. I want a running quarterback. I want a scrambling quarterback. And then you proceed to kill that man with the play calling that you make. And then you say, oh, you know, let's go back to Jimmy G.
See, my whole issue with the way Lynch and Shanahan treated Jimmy G is the fact that up until like 2 weeks before the season, he didn't even have a playbook. He wasn't even allowed in the quarterback's room. Mm-hmm. Y'all treated this man like he done pissed on your franchise.
Mm-hmm. For no reason. Listen.
And you knew John said it. Trey's the future. Jimmy is the present. Could be a problem if and when they make the long playoff run again. It's not going to be a problem because if it's Jimmy, I myself, as an outside, not a 49ers fan, but as a fan of football, I believe that the 49ers have a better chance of winning playoff games with Jimmy Garoppolo right now than Trey Lance.
Let me tell you something. I'm being dead all this week when I say this. We should have never drafted a quarterback. Never. 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 Absolutely fucking never should have traded up to draft the quarterback. We didn't need to. We had no business to. There was no point to. Okay? One, first and foremost, nobody was going to trade Trey Lance as high as we took Trey Lance. Point blank, period. But aside from that, we spent draft capital that we could have used on the future. A future that now looks bleak because Trey Lance is no longer playing. Okay? Let's just start there.
And the trade capital you could have had for Jimmy G, you fucked up when you're like, Trey Lance is our quarterback this year.
Yeah, pretty much. But they failed to do the one big thing that you're supposed to do when you're a GM. Okay, when you're the GM of a franchise, and you know the NFL, and you have a relationship and rapport with owner. They failed to do the one thing that you have to do as an owner and a GM. You have to read the room. Okay? So, coming out of playoff time, you knew Jimmy G was hurt. Okay? Knew he needed shoulder surgery. But, okay, I if you feel that you could possibly get better at a position, you do it. Okay. Fine. I agree with that assessment. Here's where the problem lies. If we had an offense that was based off of a pro offense, a pro set offense, then instead of taking Trey Lance, we should have taken Mac Jones because he ran a pro offense under Nick Saban. And I know everybody's going to be like, well, it's an Alabama quarterback and it's kind of shaky. Yes, fine. I get that, but it's also shaky taking a quarterback that only played one game in the last 2.5 years. And it was an exhibition game. That's the problem.
I get seeing the potential, but and I can say it. I can see Trey Lance being the future of your franchise. My big issue is the way they treated the guy who has done nothing but win for you when he's on the field. Except for the big games.
So I will tell you, I don't see Trey Lance as the future of our franchise. Because there's so many other mobile quarterbacks that are one free agents that are young that you can mold and build. Okay? But you're still running a pro set offense that's dependent on your running backs to succeed. You understand, we were 6 deep in running backs. 6 deep, 2 years ago, 6 deep. Last year, 5 deep because we lost Mostert. And you see that every time somebody got injured, well, we throw somebody else from fucking free agency and they get up and getting 80 fucking yards rushing off of fucking nine carries. The 49ers could turn a grocery bagger into a fucking Pro Bowl running back with the offense that we were running last year.
So the one big bright spot that you have on this team is a man who made a play this weekend where he should have been stopped 5 yards behind the line, and thank God you guys paid him in the offseason. He ended up getting like 56 on the play, and that's Deebo Samuel.
Yeah. Probably the best running back in the NFL to me. I know we talk about Jonathan Taylor. Okay.
Deebo's not a running back. He's a wide receiver.
No, because he knows that running backs are a dime a dozen. He's going to get paid his money, which is why he held out. And I absolutely fucking agree. But that's the problem, okay? When your offense is predicated around running, and maybe that's what the problem is. Maybe it's like, you know, running the Greg Roman offense, maybe not so bad. We just got to get faster at it, right? So that's essentially what it is. Let me take the Lamar Jackson, Colin Kaepernick offense and get faster. Okay, that's what it is. Let me put speed people there. Fuck it. And see what happens. And maybe that's why they drafted Trey Young. I mean, not Trey Young. Is it Trey? I said Trey Young. Trey Young?
Trey Lance, sir.
Trey Lance, I don't give a fuck at this point. Listen.
He out for season. I don't care.
Listen. I love Trey Lance as a human being. You know what I'm saying? As one of God's children. I love Trey Lance, all right? I do not love Trey Lance as the future of this franchise. Because I promise you, listen, let's say if Jimmy Garoppolo and 49ers make it to the playoffs, and I'll do you one better. Let's say if Jimmy Garoppolo goes to the Super Bowl, I'll do you one better. Let's say if Jimmy Garoppolo wins the Super Bowl, 3 for 3. Every time that he plays 14 or more games and makes the playoffs, okay, he gets to the NFC Championship and possibly the Super Bowl. What if he punches the ticket, wins the Super Bowl? Then what?
And if he does that, he's going to be out of spite, which is going to be the funniest thing.
Oh, very easily. Very easily. And then now you have teams like the Packers, who can obviously afford a $250 million contract since they gave Aaron Rodgers everything, right? You obviously have Frank Reich, whose job is going to essentially be on the line because this Matt Ryan experiment is already failing and we're already two games in, okay? We have the Broncos, who can't keep Russell Wilson alive, all right? And he's running for his life out there. Who knows if he's going to last to this end
of the year? Yeah, but he should be used to that because that's what it was in Seattle for the last 10 years.
I mean, Davis Mills probably going to want some more rubbing tugs, or else he's not going to resign because he's obviously trying to get the Texans to win a game, and he's doing a damn good job at not fucking that up. Except everybody else on the team is fucking that up.
The Texans are 1-1. Oh no, they're 0-1-1. My bad.
Oh yeah, 0-1-1. Okay, the Seattle Seahawks, the Geno Smith thing. We took care of the Geno Smith experiment. It's done. All right, Geno Smith is going to make is done. What else is there? Let's go down the list. We're gonna know the Jets now because Joe Flacco's probably gonna retire because he didn't think that he was gonna get the Jets a win, and he actually did.
Okay, so as soon as Zach Wilson's healthy, he's the quarterback of the Jets.
And then he's gonna die, and then we're gonna be back. Robert Saleh is a 49er coach. Robert Salad is the coach.
Did you see what John just said?
If Jimmy G wins the Super Bowl, the Niners will treat Trey like Green Bay treats Jordan Love. Yeah, I'd like to see that because, listen, you're going to have to reap what you sow. And whoever's going to be the first nigga to give Jimmy G $250 million over 5 years is going to be it. And there's a handful of teams that are going to do it. I promise you. So Jimmy G, and trust me, he's not stupid. Because after this, after what happened the past, 6 months, anything's possible. He's not going to come back here. I'm sorry. We're fucked. We fucked ourselves 7 ways to Sunday. We fucked over Jimmy G for the now, and he's gonna be happy to take this money because he got a signing bonus up front. He took the pay cut. He's good. He's going to win the Super Bowl, and he's going to ride off with the middle finger and a Super Bowl trophy like this.
He's going to be the opposite of Earl Thomas, who actually have a championship in his arm?
Yeah. He's going to run off. Fuck you guys. I'm getting $250. You know what I'm saying?
That's when that contract negotiation comes around, he's going to be like, yeah, remember when y'all treated me like Enzo Amore kicked me out the locker room?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
And I came back and I was the ultimate teammate.
Exactly. We fucked ourselves so bad. Let's talk about this now. So the other part of what I was trying to say is that now all you have is Trey Lance. If the 49ers go from being a Super Bowl winning team with Jimmy G to the bottom of the barrel with Trey Lance, everybody's getting fired from San Francisco. The fucking GM, the fucking coach, the fucking anybody not named Deebo Samuel or George Kittle, who else?
And Trent Williams,
nigga, everybody. And then what? Who are we gonna bring back? Are we gonna bring back the Grand Mustache from fucking 2016? Whatever the fuck his name was.
No, I know where the future of your franchise goes. You know where?
Why?
Because he's gonna be out of a job as a starting quarterback in Tennessee this year. Next year, it's the Ryan Tannehill, Nate Sudfeld, Trey Lance show, baby.
You know what's hilarious is that Ryan Tannehill is the type of quarterback that fucking what's his name probably would want. That's the stupid part about this whole shit. Is that listen, Ryan Tannehill, he played receiver, played quarterback, but can scramble his ass off. Fucking what you call is probably jacking him off right now. Like the guy can't wait to get Ryan Tannehill next year. Oh, we're so fucked. We are so fucked.
All right. Let's get off of that. Hey, you guys picked up the win. That's all that matters. You guys got the win.
Yeah, yeah. John says he gets it. He can be Trey can do all like New Orleans has. We can call Taysom Hill.
You can pay him $200 million to take carries away from your better running backs.
Just remember that. Just remember that Taysom Hill gets paid a boatload of money more than Jameis Winston, and Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback. So I just like to.
And he went back and he had his eye surgery reversed. All right, next up we said. one team was going to be out for blood and one team was going to end up bloody, and we were right. As the LA Rams just smacked around the Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, you're not wrong. but we did say that this was going to happen. I said that the Atlanta Falcons have no redeeming qualities, and the Rams are pissed that they got their ass whooped.
There's only they got their ass whooped by the best team. Oh, this hurts my. This hurts me. I'm saying right now, the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL. I'm going to say it right now.
Listen.
When we get to the Monday night game, we will talk about it.
I know everybody's hyping this team up, but we'll get to it in a second. Like I get it, but there's some problems. But we'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and talk. Let's talk about this game real quick. It's fairly simple. Marcus Mariota, for as good as he is, cannot save this team. I'm telling you right now, and that's weird for me to say. Marcus Mariota deserves better than being on this fucking team. He does. He really does.
He had a cake job in Vegas, making $10 million a year just chilling because Derek Carr was too jealous to sit down and let him play.
And you know, that's fine. That's fine. And, you know, I understand that he wants to be a starting quarterback. Like, I don't disagree with Marcus Mariota wanting to find out if he's good enough. The problem is, And the reality of the situation is that the Falcons almost came back and won this game.
Yeah.
I just want to state that for the.
But then there was a Jalen Ramsey pick that just ended everything.
Yeah. But the Falcons have no redeeming qualities at all. They don't have any good receiver except Kyle Pitts.
The good receiver is suspended longer than Deshaun Watson. So.
Yep. For gambling. So you can get the rub and tug and only be out for 8 games, but you can be banned for 2 years for betting on your own team. That's nice. Some cat named London obviously plays football. That's the thing. 8 catches, 86 yards. They have no running game, but neither do the Rams. So there's that. They have Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
And, oh, there was an Allen Robinson sighting, obviously enough. He must have heard me talking shit about him. Because he obviously decided, you know, I'm going to play Hollywood talking all that shit. Y'all watch the overtime support show. Fuck y'all niggas. You know what I'm saying?
And also it's probably, oh, shit, they're triple teaming Cooper Kupp. I guess I have to throw it to this guy. Even though Cooper Kupp still makes the catches and all the yards and all the touchdowns, even though he's being triple covered.
Tyler Higbee also had a nice little game, dude. He didn't have a touchdown, but 7 catches for 71 yards at the tight end position is absolutely a fucking amazing.
And that's what Stafford needs is his tight end to come up big.
Yeah, but Stafford needs to stop throwing these goddamn picks. He had 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. What the fuck is going on with Stafford?
Yep. And what's that, 6 interceptions on the year so far now?
Yep, he barely had any picks last year. And all of a sudden, he picks
it. It's a Super Bowl hangover, bruh.
We also know who's also having a Super Bowl hangover. I think
we'll get there in just a few minutes. Okay. Next up, a toddler ran around the field and threw a 2-point conversion, had to look up on the screen to see if it was caught because he couldn't see over the lineman, and then he got pushed in the face by a Raiders fan. The Cardinals came back and beat the Las Vegas Raiders as the Raiders went big against Arizona.
The hilarious part about this game is this was the afternoon game, right? So,
it was 1 o'clock.
So I would like to also state for the record that at the same time the Las Vegas Aces were winning a championship, the Raiders were blowing a 2-touchdown lead 5 miles up the road.
Well, it makes sense because a guy who quarterbacks the Cardinals is shorter than every player in the WNBA beat the Las Vegas Raiders.
This is horrible. Like, the Raiders were up. They were up 2 touchdowns. Maybe 2 touchdowns.
They were more. They were dominating the game.
Yeah, and then all I saw was Kyler Murray touchdown. Going to overtime, Kyler Murray won it, and we're good.
Then that 2-point conversion, he literally ran around for 2 minutes where no Raider could catch him or tackle him.
Nope.
Threw a 2-point conversion that he didn't even see be completed because he's so fucking short.
Disgusting.
And then while giving high fives in the stands, a Raider fan punches him in the face.
Punches that. See?
And John made sure that he was not and did not cause that punch to happen.
Oh, you can take the Raider out of Oakland, but you can't take the Oakland out of the Raider.
The one thing I want to tell Las Vegas Raiders fans is That's a child. That's child abuse, people. Come on. That is a toddler, sir.
He is a boy.
He is a toddler. Oh, running around like a baby who stole a controller running from their parents.
This is all bad. This is all fucking bad.
So congrats to Arizona for getting their first win of the season. Next up, well, we talked about Davis Mills, but the Broncos actually got a close win against the Texans.
Yeah. Yes. So also preface this with the fact that Russell Wilson not only struggled, struggled is being nice about it when it comes to this game. He had problems. But to be fair, we're talking about two of the best defenses in the NFL. Okay? And I know everybody's like, the Texans don't have a good defense. Actually, they do. It's not bad. They just don't have an offense. They can't score points to mitigate it.
But Davis Mills puts up yards.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Russell Wilson only went 14 of 31, less than 50%. His passes look inaccurate as fuck because he couldn't get them where they needed to go. So they really leaned on Jamal Williams, who had a decent game but no touchdowns. The only touchdown that was scored in this game was by Russell Wilson when he got the ball over to some cat named Saubert. I never heard of a guy named Saubert. The fuck is a Saubert? I don't know. But anyways, that in and of itself was a lucky play that came towards the end of the game. So there's that.
All right, let's speed this one up a little bit because we're already hitting an hour. The Bengals are suffering this ultimate Super Bowl hangover as they can't get out of their own way and win a game.
Nope. Joe Burrow struggling. I don't even know.
They lost to Cooper Rush.
Yeah, you gotta hang that one right there. They had no running game to speak of. Joe Burrow had the most yards per carry out of every rusher on the team.
And that's not good when Joe Mixon is your running back.
Nope. And they didn't even get over 200 yards passing in this game. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, fucking Cooper Rush, 19 of 31 for 235 with a touchdown. There was a Zeke Elliott sighting, 15 carries, 53, but Pollard continuing to make Ezekiel Elliott absolutely irrelevant.
And make every single week on the Overtime Sports Show me seem like I know what the fuck I'm talking about when I say he should be the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys.
He should. I'm not. Do you see me disagreeing with you? No.
No, not at all. So, all right, next up, Aaron Rodgers still owns the Bears.
Yeah, that was an ass whooping. I didn't expect that bad of an ass whooping. I thought that the Chicago Bears learned how to remotely have respect for themselves, and they do not. That was a fail of flub, and it was on primetime Sunday night. They disrespected America and everybody in it. I'm sorry.
So another failure that we called, we said the Vikings were going to win, but the Eagles treated them like shit.
Well, because the big question was, are the Vikings, the defense that they played last week, is that the real defense? But you also have to remember one thing. Kirk Cousins still exists. And he doesn't get played well on Monday night. I said Kirk Cousins was going to break the curse. I was wrong. I apologize, America, and I hope you can forgive me. Jalen Hurts had a hell of a game, man. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah. He makes the Eagles look kind of formidable.
Yeah, and Dalvin Cook was Mr. Irrelevant because he didn't do shit. Not exactly. A goddamn thing.
All right, now let's talk about the bell of the ball here. They blew out the Rams. Now they just absolutely fucking crushed the Tennessee Titans. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs just destroy defenses. We have the Buffalo Bills just wiping their feet on everybody at the start of the season.
Yes, they are. And I like to say something real quick. I need to really say I say something because I know that everybody is going to be on the Bills train this week. Okay, everybody's going to be Buffalo's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I said they're the best team in the NFL right now. That's what I said.
But they're not. They may feel like it. They're not. They're not. I'm going to tell you why. And I know that probably.
He said the Bills look like they're playing Madden on rookie difficulty.
They do. And that's the problem with rookie difficulty, okay? Somebody's eventually going to turn up the juice, okay? They have a big problem that's different from last year. Last year, Singletary was an absolute beast running the ball. Absolute beast. Which is why it made Josh Allen a lot better from the quarterback position, which also helped out Stephon Diggs from the receiver position. And remember, they had guys like Knox, McKenzie, Gilliam, Kumaro. No, they didn't have Kumaro. Kumaro was somebody else. But they had Knox, McKenzie, and Gilliam last year, kind of supplementing, right? What I've noticed the last two games that these that Buffalo's played, it's really has been the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs show. Josh Allen.
And you have to give credit to the Buffalo Bills defense because their defense is playing better this year. Von Miller looks like he did back in Denver.
Well, the defense is healthy. Keep in mind, Buffalo's defense was not healthy last year, and they still found a way to be a top five defense. Healthy meant that they're probably going to be the number one defense in the NFL, probably until somebody gets hurt. And that's fine. And I get that. And I'll roll with it. What is it? Clapping Black and City. This team went perfect 7-7 on TD drives last year against the Pats. Here we go.
Yeah, no shit. And then, okay. didn't they do that same shit to the 49ers like two or three weeks before that? So fuck off, buddy.
All right. So again, I'm gonna take a phrase from our good friend of the show, Dennis Green. If you want to crown their ass, then crown them. Okay. I'm not gonna sit here and crown Buffalo until. Remember, we said Sin. Okay, we said. And I quote that there's going to be a point in this season. See, we knew that we thought they were going to lose the one game, the first game, because we thought they were the Rams. But we said they had the potential to win the next five or six. Their schedule doesn't even get hard yet. They're probably going to win seven in a row, and they'll be 7-0. That's what we said. We said after the first game, that all bets are off at that point, because they're going to dominate. And then once they get to the game seven, which I'm pretty sure it was against like either the Chargers or even the Ravens or some shit like that, that's when things are going to get tough. I got to pull up the thing now. Let me pull up the schedule. Games. Oh yeah. So we got the Dolphins game, which the Dolphins now, I still think
we're going to talk about that when we get to the next week.
Yeah. So we talked about that, and so we said Dolphins, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, Packers, Jets, Vikings, Browns, Lions, Patriots. We said it was going to. We thought it was going to get tough. Okay, we'll talk about next week and the week after. But the Steelers team, we said that they're probably going to.
They're going to fizzle out pretty quick.
Yeah, I think the Bills are gonna take care of the Steelers. The Chiefs, I said, were maybe their toughest defensive test. I think the Bills can score as many points as the Chiefs can, but can the Chiefs really stop the Bills? But can the Bills really stop the Chiefs on offense? But then after that, we said Jets, Vikings, Browns. I said all three of those trash. Lions still up in the air. I said, and then the schedule doesn't even really get tough back then until you get to later on in the season. But even now, we don't know. Because we got Patriots twice, which we don't know what Patriots team is going to show up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know the defense is there now, but can they do it? Can they put on a Josh Allen stopping performance and mainly a Stephon Diggs stopping performance back-to-back in what's going to essentially be frozen tundra? Because
two games in 3 weeks?
Two games in 5 weeks. Yeah. 2-5. But that's, again, December 1st. Bill mm-hmm. Belichick doesn't lose in December. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't lose. Like, in January, yeah, you can take an L. But, Just saying. And I'm not going to crown him. I need to see. Everybody's like, oh, they beat the number one offense in the world. But we obviously see Matt Stafford struggling. They're not the number one offense in the world anymore. Okay?
No, they were. Okay, so let me say this. The Buffalo Bills are that proverbial buzzsaw carving through the NFL right now.
Yep. They definitely are. They got to test it. Oddly enough, the test. The real test now
is
coming up this week. This is the trap game right coming up. This is the proverbial trap game.
I don't think Bill Burr – I mean, the coach – Bill Burr. Yeah, the coach of the Buffalo Bills looks like Bill Burr, so I call him Bill Burr. I don't think Bill Burr is going to treat the Dolphins like a trap game, especially after seeing what happened last week in Baltimore.
There's a blueprint. I'm just saying, there's a blueprint there.
I guarantee you Bill Burr was watching that game.
I hope so. Like I said, there's a blueprint.
That's the end of week two. We're going to go through week three, rapid fire here, baby boy. So we are starting off Thursday night. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns are a failure of a team right now. They are discombobbled. I don't think they recover much from this embarrassing loss that they took against the Jets. And Pittsburgh is on some Air Force energy shit right now. Given the fact that New England is still a top five defense because Bill Belichick is their coach, New England can put out a shitty product on offense and they will still be a top five defense because Bill Belichick is their coach. Simply that, they could start grocery baggers and fucking guys that you pick up at the YMCA. And Bill Belichick is going to coach their ass.
They had a guy who was working at Foot Locker week 15 of the NFL season 1 year, and he made the game-winning interception in the Super Bowl.
Yes. Thank you. So, now that that's being said, Pittsburgh is going to be on one. This is now a grudge match game. But Cleveland is in no way, shape, or form ready to deal with Black Air Force energy. I am taking Pittsburgh Steelers all the fucking way in this
one. I'm going to disagree with you here. I'm going to go with the Browns because I think they just give the ball to Chubb and Hunt and just say, fuck it.
We'll see.
With no TJ Watt, they can run the ball against the Steelers.
We'll see. We'll see, my friend.
All right. Next up, which possibly could be a sleeper for game of the week. We just talked about it. The Buffalo Bills at the fuck it offense against the Miami Dolphins.
Again, this is the test. Is it Kenny Pickett time? Let's see. Is it Kenny Pickett time? Or do you wait to not send him out to get the David Carr treatment behind that O-line? Are you talking about, is Kenny Pickett in Cleveland? Or is that Pittsburgh? Kenny Pickett, I think he's in Pittsburgh. Yeah, because ain't nobody else want to play for
I'm looking it up right now. That's the name I haven't heard in a while.
Kenny Pickett. I know who he is. I can't remember. I think
he is on the Steelers.
No, it's not.
I think they're still going to roll with Trubisky.
Yeah, they'll roll with Trubisky at least until week four, week five, maybe. I think that's going to be the thing. I think Mitch Trubisky is who we think he is, and he is who we thought we think he is, and that's who he is.
He took Matt Nagy to the playoffs, goddammit.
That's right, and trust me, Matt Nagy didn't deserve it. I'm just saying.
All right, so who you got in the Bills and the Dolphins? I'm taking the Bills here.
You got to take the Bills, but goddamn, if this is a smell trap game, I don't know what does. This is a trap.
This could also be a reality check for the Dolphins, to be honest with you.
True. Also, it's going to be rainy as fuck. It's going to be in Miami, and it's going to be because allegedly a hurricane is going to pass on the south side, so it means it's going to be rainy and stormy as fuck.
So Josh Allen is just going to be running down the field stiff-arming people. Okay.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, I got Buffalo, but man, don't be surprised if Dolphins come through.
All right, next up we have the struggling Bungles taking on the team that just beat their Ohio counterparts, the New York Jets.
Oh, that doesn't get much higher than last week for the Jets. It really doesn't. And
does it get much lower for the Bungles though?
Oh, it can if they lose. Trust me.
If the Jets are 2-1, I'm quitting everything.
If the Jets go 2-1, I'm done.
I'm quitting this. I'm quitting my job. I'm gonna go move in under a fucking freeway overpass.
I'm
not gonna say that because of my luck. Because the Jets hate me, they might win this game. But I'm picking the Bengals.
I gotta pick the Bengals. I can't foresee a situation where the goddamn when the goddamn New York Jets win. I don't see a situation like this. But I've been wrong before. I said that Matt Ryan.
You said they're going to go 0-17, sir.
I said that. I also said that there's no way that the Atlanta Falcons can lose 3 games in a row.
Robert Salad has his team ready.
Robert Salad, baby. Woo!
So we got Michael Vick and Robert Sound now. The two nicknames come from the Overtime Sports Show. All right, next up we have two 0-2 teams who people were thinking were going to be a lot better. The Las Vegas Raiders, who played second fiddle to the Aces. What the fuck is going on with Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans?
All right, so first. Derrick Henry
has been the epitome of non-factor.
Oh, so make sure that one you put me down for Bengals as the win. Don't fuck around. Okay, I was making sure because listen. All right, so ever since Derrick Henry caught that one hit in Week 1, it was on his third carry.
It wasn't even the same when he got back last year, though.
He was. He still ran for $100 something in the one game that he played, and then they ran into the buzzsaw. That was the fucking Bengals, and I know. But he was on his way. Like, so the first two carries that he had in that game last week, they were decent carries.
And then man from the Giants made a man out of it, made a boy out of him.
He made a boy out of him. Made him a boy. And ever since then, he has not been the same. Literally, you can go back to that hit, and it's a wrap. I don't know what happened.
He struggled the rest of that game.
Yep. Which lasts longer, a Raiders lead or the Aces championship parade? Oh!
The Aces championship parade.
That's right.
It was only a half hour.
Las Vegas title town, USA, baby. Woo! All right.
I think the Titans get back on track this week.
Man, they better, because if they don't.
Well, their whole division, Jacksonville, with the way this division is playing, Jacksonville is going to blow this division out of the water.
Indy trash,
Houston trash, Tennessee playing like trash. The only saving grace, the only team with a win in this division is the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right, Jacksonville Jaguars, number one team in the AFC South, baby. Deal with it.
They are 1-0-1. They have not lost.
Undefeated, never lost, okay?
Oh, no. I lied. I forgot it was the Colts in Texans you tied, my bad. So they're 1-1.
Yeah, so they're 1-1. So the Colts are 0-1-1. The Texans are 0-1-1. The Tennessee Titans are 0-2. And Jacksonville is 1-1. That's right. Division leaders, baby.
Trevor Lawrence is like, I told you I don't lose, bitch. I'm gonna go throw 7 interceptions. So who you got, the Raiders or the Titans?
I'm taking the Raiders are at home?
No, the Titans are.
Oh, fuck. The Raiders are 0-2, huh?
Yep. And they got Kansas City and the Chargers in the division.
You know what? I'm going to take the Raiders on this one. I'm going to throw a caution to win.
That's a bold strategy, Cotton.
And not only that, I'm going to is Jacksonville playing this week? Is the Jacksonville game right now next?
Not right now, but in a little bit.
Okay, all right. I got to know they're playing. Don't tell me. Go ahead.
You and I think I know where you're going to go. I think it's almost a guarantee where you're going to go with that game. It is not Jacksonville. So next up we have reverse eye surgery Jameis Winston taking on Smoker Hayfield in the Carolina Panthers.
Smoker Hayfield, listen. The Panthers have done nothing to convince me that they're a better football team. I don't care.
At least Christian McCaffrey played a game and did not get hurt.
Play two, actually. Oddly enough, hey, he's not dead yet. But this might be the
first
game.
First play of this game, arm falls off, hip falls off.
I would say that this might be the game that happens, but I don't know. The New Orleans has been playing way too soft. And the Panthers are not playing hard enough either. This has become the soft. We have some of the softest teams in the NFL right now.
Well, up until Tom Brady got on track last week, the Saints were playing pretty good defense.
Yeah.
But their offense is horrible.
But also remember, Baker Mayfield's no Tom Brady. I don't care how you feel about that.
I'm picking the Saints here.
Yeah, I'm picking the Saints too. They got to get back on track. Panthers, I don't know, but they don't be surprised. The Panthers take advantage of some bullshit. Just saying.
All right, next up, this is a game that I know one quarterback is walking into this one pissed, but the coach on the other side has had success here and there against him. The Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots.
So Lamar Jackson is trying to become a $250 million man, okay? I don't think that there's nothing that the Patriots can do to stop Lamar Jackson from being Lamar Jackson. But with that being said, Baltimore's defense got exposed in the last, 2 or 3 minutes of that game last week. Exposed.
Tua Tagovailoa, 6 touchdowns in the game.
And people have blatantly said that Mac Jones is a better QB than Tua. So, if I'm throwing call, this is a lot of moving parts here. But and you're probably not going to like me for this one. I'm going with the Ravens because Lamar Jackson is trying to become a $250 million man.
You know what? I don't blame you. I thought you were going to pick the Ravens. I already had your initial on the Ravens.
And that's the only reason. I think if Lamar Jackson wasn't fighting for a contract to be proven that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Which he's going to get from the New York Jets next year.
Or the Detroit Lions, shit. Or the Denver Broncos, shit. Or who knows, maybe the fucking 49ers since we like running quarterbacks now.
Well, I'm going Homer mode. I'm going New England, baby. Woo!
Oh, God.
Next up, we have the Detroit Lions at your favorite quarterback in the world, Kirk Cousins, and the Minnesota Vikings.
It's time for the Detroit Lions to take their place among the elites and become the division winners, the division leaders of the NFC North. They must become kings of this division, and they have an opportunity to do it.
As they win this division with a 7-9 record.
7-9? Shit, that's being nice. I think they was going to win at 6-11. No, fuck it. Anyways, I'm taking the Detroit Lions against this Minnesota Vikings team that can't seem to figure out how to get Dalvin Cook the ball in the right way anymore. I don't know what's going on.
I'm taking the Detroit Lions because Dan Campbell is biting kneecaps.
I bet. All right. You like it, I love it.
Next up, we have Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles taking on a quarterback who is usually always hurt, Carson Wentz and the Washington Commanders.
Washington is you want to talk about abysmal football teams and abysmal divisions? Well, make no mistake about it.
Abysmal owner.
Make no mistake about it. This is the perfect. This is the cap of the term abysmal. The NFC least has earned that name.
Woo! Tokened here at Sinful Black, baby.
That's right. The NFC least, they are not a good division. And to have to pick one of these teams is like picking between, what's that South Park episode? Picking between giant douche and turd sandwich. This is what this is. Unfortunately, we're going to have to pick a winner. Actually, I would like to bet and say it was a tie, but I can't because it wouldn't be fair. And watch, that's actually what's happened. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts showed me something last week. I'm going to go with the Eagles. He has to keep that fire going if they want to compete with the New York football Giants, which is something I never thought I would say.
Oh, the Giants, the kings of the NFC East. That's yeah, that's right.
So next up, we have an undefeated team against a team who looks like they're not going to win a game. The Kansas City Chiefs at the very broken Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, Matt Ryan deficiency syndrome is in full effect. Somebody's going to lose their job. Somebody about to lose their job. And it's going to be Frank Reich, unfortunately. This whole Matt Ryan experiment is 2 weeks in, and we failed completely.
Defense is gone. Offense is gone.
Offense, you can't. We have the best running back in the NFL, and you can't run the ball to save your life. I am going with the team that is not the Indianapolis Colts. I'm just going to put that out there.
We're both going with the Chiefs here. This is probably going to be a fucking blowout.
That's it. Somebody going to lose their job.
This is going to be a baby's diaper when he falls asleep in a high chair and you forget about it.
Oh, no. Why? Oh, no.
No. All right. Speaking of a blown out baby's diaper, the next game we have up is the Houston Texans at the Chicago Bears.
This is tough.
Like a fucking overcooked steak that you bought from Walmart for 99 cents on clearance?
This, yeah. I don't know whether to pick an underrated defense that's led by Davis Mills or Justin, what the fuck is his name?
Fields.
Oh, I'm sorry. Justin Fields that has no offense, but the Bears have a decent defense unless they're playing Aaron Rodgers in Chicago, I mean, in Green Bay.
So I'm gonna pick ahead of you. I'm going to pick the Texans here just to be different, just to spice it up a little bit.
I'm picking the Texans on this one, too. I like this matchup. I don't like Justin Fields' chances because he has no weapons. He has none.
It's going to be a very hard-to-watch game. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah, it's probably going to be low-scoring, and that benefits the Texans more than anybody else. So,
all right, so you wanted to know who the Jaguars are playing this week, and I told you you were going to pick the team opposite of them.
Uh-huh.
Team opposite of them just got screwed by the referees and the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh. Are they playing in Jacksonville?
No. They're playing in Los Angeles.
Oh, so they're playing in Jacksonville?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because no matter how good an LA team is, they will always not have home field advantage.
Oh, fuck.
You were about to say it as a joke, you couldn't even get it out your mouth. Because Justin Herbert is just going to fucking yeet everywhere on his fucking team.
But this man has like four broken ribs.
He broke his ribs. The very next play, he couldn't breathe. It's more 35-yard dart. Justin Herbert is the most unlikely toughest guy in the NFL. It's so fucking weird.
I'm taking a giant. Yeah, I can't even say it. I'm taking the fucking Chargers, dude.
Khalil Mack might make Trevor Lawrence a broken man this week.
But I heard that, what's his name? Remember that quarterback that sat behind Drew Brees for all those years and that went to Missouri? The one I said that he's the second greatest hustler of all time next to Sam Bradford? Yeah, well, this is the guy who he was Drew Brees' backup for like the whole time that Drew Brees was in New Orleans.
Herbert is a dog. Yeah, I love him. He got that dog.
But anyway, worst case scenario, that guy will step up for Justin Herbert in case Justin Herbert can't breathe anymore.
And that's also just pre-emphasized because Keenan Allen did not play against the Chiefs. He'll be back this week.
Yeah.
Mike Williams is playing at a level that I've been preaching about for the last 6 years doing this goddamn show.
Yes. Finally, Mike Williams finally fucking doing somebody named Mike Williams finally doing something in the NFL. It's a
all beautiful right. thing. Next up, we have a NFC West matchup between two 1-1 teams. We have the Los Angeles Rams going to Arizona to take on a toddler in his playthings.
I'm just really hoping that they just cancel each other out and nobody wins this game, but I can't. So the Cardinals is this in Arizona, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Cardinals are going to win this game. I'm taking the Cardinals. I know it sounds weird, but apparently everybody's going to be back this week on the Cardinals. And my understanding is that what's his name is going to be back? Senior Hopkins.
No, Senor Hopkins is suspended for the first.
Oh yeah, four games.
Six.
Okay.
Six.
Six now? Six?
Remember, he appealed it and they had two more games because he fucked up again.
They said, you know what? You appealed it. How about two more games, bitch? Oh fuck. Okay. Well, my bad. I'm sorry. But, I still think the Cardinals are gonna win, mainly because fuck the Rams. But the Rams are making way too many mistakes for me to have any kind of confidence in them. And these two teams happen to play each other very fucking well every time they play, regardless of the standing of each team. So
I am going to go with, because I think the coach of the Rams have publicly called out his very good running back, Cam Akers, because nobody knows what the hell happened to him. There's some dysfunction at the station there in Ramsville. I'm going to go with the Rams. I think Cooper Kupp is going to have a huge fucking game against this Cardinals team.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Next up, we have a battle of two Hall of Famers, two who they consider the GOATs, but only one has more than one championship. The Green Bay Packers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, Green Bay's not at home. And Tampa Bay's defense is off the chain. This is going to look exactly like that game that Green Bay played in the first game where they got their asses whooped.
And it's going to be a good game for Cole Beasley to get in the field shape.
Yes, because also keep in mind that the Packers' weakness is still the run. They haven't fixed that.
Oh, and Leonard Fournette is a beast this year.
Exactly. So I'm taking Tampa Bay on this one. I take the home team and let them ride. That's all I can really say about it.
Take it Tampa Bay because since Tom Brady has gone to Tampa Bay, they have utterly humiliated the Green Bay Packers every time they played.
It's a beautiful sight. Beautiful fucking right. sight.
Next up, we have a battle of birds. We have Marcus Mariota and the Atlanta Falcons taking on Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks.
This is the wasted potential bowl. This is what this is.
Hello?
Hold on. Are we back? I'm back. Are you back?
I've been here.
My shit, the stream keeps cutting out. When it comes out, it's cutting out the second time. Probably pissed off because I said who was going to win. Probably pissed off because I talked shit about Geno Smith. Maybe the owner of StreamYard is a Geno Smith fan. Who knows? That's what I'm thinking. Anyway.
I said the logo of StreamYard is a bird. So.
Exactly. So we're at the Wasted Potential Bowl. This is what this I call it the Wasted Potential Bowl. Marcus Mariota's potential wasted. Geno Smith, potential wasted, but did he really ever have potential? That's the question for the experts, not me.
Not when the Jets took him.
I think this is where the Falcons get their first win of the year, and it's going to be an ugly one.
Wow. I'm not going with your favorite thing is who has the better quarterback. I'm going with who has the better wide receivers. And that is hands down the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, wild, wild. Okay, all right. Well, all right.
So now we got Sunday Night Football. Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers face a familiar foe, but this time in Mile High. And he still doesn't have an offensive line. The 49ers at the Denver Broncos.
Well, the vaunted Broncos defense isn't as good as it once was. They proved that 2 weeks ago when they just said, fuck it, and we're not going to play defense anymore. With that being said, 49ers, Jimmy G.
George Kittle is slated to play this week, too. So.
Yep, and this is going to be one of the rare one-time-only, may never happen again, George Russell Wilson fucking Jimmy G battles that have always been great over the last few years. But I'm taking the 49ers because the Broncos have a lot of problems. Yes.
We all thought the Broncos were going to be better when they got a quarterback. Problem is, they don't know how to protect this quarterback. Like, the Seahawks didn't know how to protect this quarterback.
they don't know how to protect them, and they also have somehow forgotten how to play defense in the last year. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Von Miller left.
Fair enough. And you see where he's at, you see that.
If you think about it, Von Miller, Elvis Dumervil, all those motherfuckers are gone off this defense now.
Yep. God damn. You know, do you mean the guys that saved Tim Tebow that year? Yeah, I know.
Also won Peyton Manning his last Super Bowl? Yeah. All right, and last but not least, speaking of least, Monday Night Football is the NFC least. We have Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys taking on the undefeated New York Giants.
No, you gotta say it right. The undefeated division leading.
Let me go Paul Heyman mode real quick, all right? Okay. The undefeated division leading. Never beaten in 2023 NFL, the New York Football Giants.
As much as you hate the New York Giants, you have to appreciate we both our love for Daniel Jones is amazing. We just hate the rest of the team.
We love to laugh at him.
Hey, I like Daniel Jones.
I do not.
I don't think he should have been drafted as high as he was drafted. But I like Daniel Jones. I like that he has
moxie. You say that about half of the quarterbacks in the NFL playing right now.
So. That's right. But the kid has moxie, okay? The kid has moxie.
Yes, because he needs pimples, you know.
No, not oxy.
My bad. If Saquon Barkley, they keep Saquon Barkley on a pitch count, the Giants will win this game.
Yeah. And I've been looking over stats. I'm trying to figure out how they're winning games. They're just winning them as a team. That's really what it comes down to. They are winning because they're scoring more points than the other team. That is why.
As Booger McFarland would say, in order to win, you got to score more points than the other team. Yeah, no shit. That's why they put you on a forklift on Monday Night Football and didn't let you in the studio, you big dumb bastard.
That's right. You got to score more points than the other team. Back to you, Jim. What?
Fucking Charles Davis and Booger McFarland, the worst commentators in NFL history. I'd rather take fucking Troy Aikman saying racist, stupid shit than either one of those two.
But would you take 3 hours of Chris Collinsworth saying?
Here's oh fuck though, I would shove this massager down his throat.
Now here's the
guy.
That's the only time I put a sniper
in the window across from Chris Collinsworth when he's standing there with his hands on his hips, looking all entitled as he talks about something. Now, here's a guy right in the middle of the frame.
That's the only time he'll tolerate Booger McFarland is if it's between him and Colin Coward. I mean, Chris Collinsworth.
And I'm going to say this, and I know if John's still watching, he's going to be like, yeah, because he might agree with me. I will take Charles Davis over Chris Collinsworth.
God damn. That's fair, though. That's fair. I got the Giants fuck winning.
Chris Collinsworth.
I got the Giants because fuck the Cowboys. There you go.
Fuck Chris Collinsworth. Fuck here's a guy. Fuck the Cowboys. I got the Giants in this game.
There we go. The problem has been solved, and his name is not Marina Shafir, okay? All right, so, yes, she cut one of the worst promos in wrestling history. It's okay. It's okay.
Because the bitch can barely open her mouth.
Well,
anyway.
It's because nobody cares about Marina Shafir.
Not when you have Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah. Just saying. Here's before we go. I have to state for the record that this has been one heck of an interesting start to the NFL season.
We said it. This season was going to be chaos. We already said that shit.
Yeah, we blatantly said it in a preview. I said this is fuck all. This is what this is.
We do the preview about 3 to 4 weeks before the NFL season, and we said this season was going to be fucking chaos.
Uh-huh. And so far, it has exceeded expectations of chaos.
It has now reached Triple H taking over WWE levels of insanity.
The Giants are the number one team in the NFC East. That statement. And the Jets...
The Giants and the Jaguars are leading their divisions.
And the Jets are what? Number two?
No, because the Bills and Dolphins are both 2-0.
Oh, the Dolphins are 2-0. So the Jets are number... No, they're still worse. Never mind.
They're tied with the Patriots at 1-1.
Yeah. Okay, so that's fair. But the Jets have a win, which they shouldn't have a win. They should not have won.
Because Hollywood said they were going 0-17.
And somehow the Browns found a way to fuck it up, which is, I should have expected it. I really should.
The last thing, you know, I want this video ended on this start right here. Do you think when Deshaun Watson starts his first game as a Brown, they should put a cum stain in the middle of the Elf's hand?
Oh, my God. Did you see the signs that they said, the signs that they had at the Browns game?
Browns fans are classless.
Nothing wrong with a rub and tug. It's okay. It's not illegal. Okay, that's what they said. It's not illegal.
Anyway, my name is Big Sin. That's Hollywood J. Black. This is the NFL.
That's, and just make sure that you get your rub and tugs from certified rub and tuggers. Until
now, don't forget, the NFL banned a PlayStation game because it showed them doing cocaine and getting hookers in the locker room, called NFL Blitz 2011, with Lawrence Taylor on the cover.
No, it was the league. It was the league. Yeah. That's what it's called.
The league. Because you could buy cocaine, you could do hookers, you could do all this shit. Oh, guess what? 2022, bitch, that's the NFL.
Oh, you can do steroids on the sideline in the middle of a game. Forgot about that. They had HGA shots in the middle of a game. It said it improved performance but makes injuries worse. And sure enough.
So now, NFL Blitz the League is now the NFL real life.
That's right. So.
And keep that fucking doctor away from Justin Herbert, because he might try to inflate his fucking.
And, you know, it's hilarious. The lawsuit came in right before the game, so you knew the doctor was like, I don't know if I should really stick this needle in him. Just don't.
Yeah. If I was Chargers ownership, and I know they're shitty people, I'd be like, dude, get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly. Getting sued and shit. At least they're just suing the doctor, not the Chargers. Chargers is like, it ain't on me, nigga. I just hired this motherfucker.
He said he was a certified medical assistant. He graduated from WebMD, okay?
WebMD University. Oh, God, if WebMD really gave out shit, it's time for me to become a doctor. But until next time, Dr. Hollywood Black MD, okay? And then you can become a doctor, too. Dr. Big MF and Sin MD/DDS. All right, we're just ripping out.
And this is this overtime sports show, that damn NFL show, and this is real life.
And we are out this thing. Fortunately, unfortunately for y'all, because we love y'all, but we got to go handle real life. We'll see you guys on the reaction shows. Deuces. End it, baby. Yeah.